Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call to order the Milford School Board regular school board meeting for Monday, November 15th. It is now 6:02 p.m. The Milford School Board of Education will hold this meeting electronically and in person here in the Milford High School auditorium. Social distancing and mask wearing is required for all those attending in person. Dr. Dickerson, may I get a roll call, please?
Mr. Bassar Lopez.
Here.
Dr. Brownstein.
Here.
Mr. Fitzgerald.
Here.
Mr. Thompson. Mr. Vesmar.
Here.
Mrs. Wiley.
Here.
Mr. Miller.
Here. Would everyone please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance.
Our first order of business this evening is our regular meeting minutes from our previous meeting, October 18th. Are there any questions, concerns, comments, or corrections on our meeting minutes from our October 18th meeting?
I just have a question. I was trying to listen to the recording the other day, and it doesn't start at the beginning, so I wasn't sure if we can get that corrected.
We can certainly look into that. Where does it pick up?
It picks up with, I think it was when the board discussion, and it's only 15 minutes of the recordings.
Wow. Okay. We'll make a note and look into that. Thank you. Anything else on the actual written minutes for the regular meeting for October 18th? Hearing none, I am seeking a motion to approve the regular meeting minutes for October 18th, 2021, as presented.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Vesmar, seeking a second.
Second.
Second by Dr. Brownstein. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Motion carries. At this time, I'm seeking a motion for adjournment to our executive session for discussion of personnel and tax-related issues.
I move that we move to executive session.
Motion by Mrs. Wiley, seeking a second.
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Fitzgerald. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstaining? Motion carries. We are in executive session. We estimate to return about 7 o'clock. Thank you. Good evening, everyone. We are returning from our executive session at this time. Do need a motion to return to our open session.
I'll make a motion that we return to open session.
I have a motion by Mr. Fitzgerald, seeking a second.
I second.
Second by Mrs. Wiley. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Motion carries. We have returned to open session. It is now 7:08 p.m. Our first item on our agenda this evening is a moment of silence for our deceased Governor Ruth Ann Minner.
I'd like to stand for a moment of silence, please. Thank you. I just want to point out Governor Ruth Ann Minner was always an advocate for the Milford School District, and remember visiting our schools and being very supportive of our students, our staff, and our community. And she had a lot of pride here in the greater Milford community.
Thank you, Dr. Dickerson. First order of business is our personnel, Dr. Jason Peel.
All right, good evening. I ask that you approve the personnel
agenda as presented during executive session.
We have a request by Dr. Peel for approval of our personnel report as presented in our executive session.
So moved.
A motion by Mr. Vesmar seeking a second.
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Baltazar Lopez. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. We do have another item on the agenda, our MEA, DSEA, NEA, and MSD MOU for the MHS IEP teacher coverage during planning. And we have been asked to table that item. I do need a motion to table it.
I move that we table, I'm just going to call it 8B, so I don't have to read all the letters.
We have a motion to table our item 8B this evening.
Second.
Second by Mr. Fitzgerald. Any questions on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Motion carries. The item is tabled until our next meeting. Dr. Dickerson, are there any changes to our agenda this evening?
Yes, please. We'd like to take 13B, District Building Grounds Mower Purchase, and move that to the December agenda. So I'd like to remove that from the agenda here this evening, please. 13B.
Gotcha. 13B is off our agenda this evening. Anything additional?
No.
Thank you. Is there anyone that has signed up for public comment this evening, either up front or through our electronic methods?
I don't see anyone that signed up for in person, and we do have some attendees online.
If you could quickly go through the process for how they can raise their hand to provide public comment if necessary.
So our online users can use the raise hand button at the bottom of their screen. And if you're a call-in user, you can dial *3. That should be displayed on the screen at this time.
We will give folks a moment to see if they would like to speak this evening. All right, seeing none, our next item of business is our superintendent's report. Dr. Dickerson.
First, I have the privilege here this evening to welcome a great group of FFA students, also agri-science teachers. I see here on the left side or the right side, if you're facing us here in the audience, I'm going to welcome up front for a presentation. And if you have a chance, then you have a round of applause, because they were the top FFA group here at this fair in the summertime and have many other accomplishments to communicate this evening. Ms. Gerken, we'd like to get a good picture of them here at some point in time this evening, too, that we can post. But very proud of our FFA program, our students, our advisors, and the whole district community here who support the FFA programs that we have.
Thank you so much. Good evening, everyone. My name is Mrs. Roselle. Myself is one of the advisors, along with Mrs. Hardy and Mr. Bethard, are the three advisors here at the high school. And we're really thankful to be here tonight. It's been a little bit since we've gotten to come to a board meeting. And I really have the privilege of having a few of our FFA officers here tonight to be able to present just some highlights of what our FFA chapter has been doing over the past year and a half. So with that, I'd like to hand it over to Hannah.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Hannah Hegg, and I'm a senior at Milford High School, and I'm also the chapter president of our Milford FFA chapter. Over the past year, we've had 43 FFA members compete in CDEs and LDEs. I had the privilege of competing in food science as well as farm business. These competitions are a great opportunity for our FFA members to build leadership skills and career success, and we are very proud of all our success that our members have had over the year in their competitions.
Good evening. My name is Natalie Armstrong. I'm the secretary of the Milford FFA chapter. So since February of 2021, our Milford FFA chapter has participated in many volunteer events. One of these events is the Riverwalk Freedom Festival, which was my absolute favorite. I love the joy and happiness seen on children's faces when they see animals, and also the opportunity to teach these children something new about animals.
At the state fair, over 80 awards were presented to our FFA members. Milford FFA received the Fair Fantastic Award, which is, this is the first time they've ever done this award. Our Vice President, Ani Phillips, was awarded the William H. Abbott Memorial Plaque Award, which is a huge accomplishment for her. I had the honor of showing a livestock. I showed a pig named Blueberry. It's a great way for our members to learn how to take care of animals. It's a good responsibility for them. We have, I believe, two slides of pictures up there. You can see Anya getting the award, our members showing their animals, and then there should be another slide. And then here's some more of our show team, which is a great way for them to learn responsibility, taking care of their animals. We have cattle showmen as well as pig showmen.
And Hannah, who presented you Anya the award? Who was that who presented Anya the award?
Presented an award.
Who presented the award to our
governor?
Governor of the state of Delaware. So Governor Carney presented us the award. So congratulations.
I'm Anya Phillips. I'm the vice president of the Milford FFA chapter. This last month, we had the privilege to go to National FFA Convention. I'm very happy that we did get to go this year. There was 8 of us that attended, and I got to compete in marketing plan at the national level, as well as our secretary, Natalie. We did come in a silver placing team, and it was just a very good experience to be able to compete at that level. There was 3 other teams that we competed against in our room, and it was just, it's a really good experience to have. We also, when we were out at Nationals, we went to a concert and we got to see the new national officer team getting elected into their spots. One of those national officers is actually from Delaware and his name is Jackson, which is a very like exciting moment for the small state of Delaware. And then on the next slide, there is photos from National Convention.
Supporting us through this crazy year and a half that we had. It would not be possible without our community support, and we are so excited for our upcoming year. We're already putting together our CDE teams, and we are gearing up for our next big event, which is state convention, and that will be held March 8th.
Again, thank you very much for representing Milford School District so well. Very proud of your accomplishments and very proud of you as students and advisors and teachers within the Milford School District. Thank you for everything that you do here to really help our district, our school, and our community. So thank you very much for all your accomplishments. Congratulations. We also like to get a quick picture here. So I'm going to ask Mr. Miller real quick, Mr. Buford, Dr. Amory, and myself. We're going to get a quick picture down here with our presenters, please. Yes, first of all, I'd like to thank the entire district community for their support and approval for the referendum that we recently held on October 27th. So very thankful for the support that we had from our entire community, and we look forward to the next steps there on our Milford Middle School grounds. Mr. Miller?
Yeah, I would like to mirror that those compliments to our community. As a board, we're very appreciative that the community took the time to come out and to vote, and more importantly, to vote for the future of this district. It's definitely a positive energy, and we intend to keep that positive energy going. So thank you very much from the bottom of my heart.
I also want to thank a couple people here that were out in as far as when we had their presentations, Dr. Croce, Ms. Gherkin, Mr. Sharp, Mr. Seibel, I'm not sure if he's here, Mr. Dukes, thank you everybody for being out and with us during our presentations, and the fantastic job every one of you did too. So thank you. Okay, Louie Ross and Miss Pillion Elementary Schools recently named 2021 recognition schools for excellence in serving special populations. So this year, the state recognized just 14 schools across the state as excellence in or school of excellences or recognition schools. And we're very proud to have two of the 14 schools here in the Milford School District. So congratulations to Ms. Wallace and Miss Pillion Elementary School, and Ms. McKenzie and Lulu Ross Elementary School. Great accomplishments. The DIAA, or Delaware Interscholastic Athletic Association, is celebrating and recognizing DIAA registered officials with a series of appreciation weeks throughout the school year. So the first appreciation week was actually at the end of October, from the 24th to the 30th, but we're very thankful for officials throughout the state being able to be here for our students, support our students, support our games, and being able to stay active as officials and allowing us to have competitions for our students within the district. As we come close, or as we come to the closure of National School Psychologist Week, and I'll let Ms. Mangus come up here too. She may want to have a couple words here for the excellent team that we have here. Again, we have an amazing team of school psychologists, Ms. Lisa Kakamis, Dr. Eric Sudler, Mrs. Valerie Carter, Ms. Rosa DiPiazza, Ms. Sarah Trunzo, Ms. Alyssa Deeb, and Mr. Ryan Palmer.
Sure, thanks. We definitely had to take a minute to acknowledge them and thank them for their hard work. I'm working a lot with Dr. Hazard now because we're both in this world of supporting our students and those that have a lot of diverse needs. Our teams together. And she has said to me, actually, even as recently as this morning, just what an outstanding job our psychologists do in this district, having come from another district, and what great leadership they take, ensuring that services and extra supports are in place for all of our kids throughout the district. So it's a small team, but it's a mighty team, and they do great things. So thanks for acknowledging.
Okay, congratulations to our new safety patrol inductees at Banneker Elementary School, Jason Walls, Mercedes Palmer, Kamora Johnson, Barrett Valentine, Jackson Moran, Edwina Mandelis, Ayana Amaka Ramos, Juliana Van, Reagan Waters, Cooper Dubois, Brian Alberg, and Juan Pablo Flores. So they'll be our Banneker Bulldogs as far as the safety patrol this year, and serving Dr. Kilgore and the Milford, or the Banneker, Benjamin Banneker school community well. Then also congratulations to Lulu Ross, to their safety patrolers, for Ms. Lockwood's and Senorita Matamoros' classes, Juliana Bates, Alita Chalil Sandoval, Emily Chalil Bravo, Lucas Conway, Alexis Hernandez Cabrera, Sydney Laramon, Leah Marvel, Ariela Matamoros, John McBroom, and Jenna Mealy, Lindsay Maluro, Sereda Niz Lopez, Anna Perez Hernandez, Emma Reynolds, Eric Sibbles, Alexis Faith, Emily Velasquez Lopez. And congratulations to the inductees of our safety patrollers, also at Lulu Ross, and to serve Ms. McKenzie in the Lulu Ross school community well, too. We do want to make sure, again, we thank the as far as our Milford Police Department for their continued support, and really specifically our school resource officer at elementary schools, Ms. Teresa Bloodsworth. So very fortunate for the support here, and then also AAA as well, as far as to be able to have the program. MCA boys soccer team finished their season undefeated. Congratulations to their outstanding season. Had a big win there at the end of the year there between two undefeated teams to close the year undefeated. And then senior Olivia Muir won $1,000 scholarship as the Heisman High School Scholarship State winner for Delaware from applicant pool of thousands of high school scholar athletes graduating with the class of 2022. 100 students have been named state winners. So we're very proud of Olivia, quite the accomplishment here to be the Heisman winner for the state of Delaware. Outstanding student, outstanding athlete, and just a wonderful student here at Milford High School. Also want to congratulate FFA members, Julia Adams and Harley Lardner, who received their American FFA degree, the highest degree achievable in the national FFA. Just a couple quick events that we have. Report cards be sent home on Wednesday, November 17th. So that will be later this week. On the 18th, we do have our Thanksgiving meal, and our child nutrition staff always does a phenomenal job as far as preparing and also serving in a wonderful meal on the Thursday before Thanksgiving. That'll be the 18th. And schools will be closed next Wednesday through Friday to observe the Thanksgiving holiday.
Do we have a drama presentation this Friday as well? Yeah.
Mr. Buford, do you want to come up here and talk about the drama production?
Yes, good evening. Thank you for sitting in a different position this evening. This week is dress rehearsal. For our MHS Drama Club, they will be presenting their play based off of Sherlock Holmes. It will be Friday night at 7 p.m. is the first opening. There's a Saturday matinee at 1 and a Saturday evening show at 7 p.m. as well. So we really appreciate your support and come on out.
And tickets can be purchased at the door?
At the door, yes. $8 for adults, $6 for seniors, and $5 for students. Children, I believe, 5 and under are free.
Fantastic. Thank you. Look forward to it.
Very talented group of students as well.
Dr. Dickerson, is that the end of your report?
Yes.
Thank you. Our next order of business is business with Dr. Sarah Croce.
Good evening again, everyone. The first item I have on the agenda for you is our regular monthly revenue and expenditure reports for October. As you can see on the revenue side, we're still awaiting that certified unit count. From the September process, expecting the revenues for state funds probably late November, early December, hopefully. We are about 85% collected on our local tax receipts and just got all the remaining funds for our consolidated grant. You can see there at the bottom for federal funds. On the expenditure side, nothing really outstanding for this point in the year, making our way through spending. Still spending a lot of those ESSER funds as well. Are there any questions about the October 31 revenue or expenditure reports?
I have a question. So this may not appear in this month's or last month's report, but so where does the money go when a school gets an award for an accomplishment or something? Like, what line category is that under?
It depends on how it's appropriated to us. So typically if a school gets a state funded award, it'll go under the, so you can see where it says like world language immersion in that operating unit, which is curriculum and instruction. We'll create a specific program code for that and track it separately.
Has either Lula Ross or Ms. Billion received their $8,000 award yet?
They have not gotten it yet.
Okay.
We have to give them a grant application that says how we're going to use the funding.
Okay.
Are there any other questions on our revenue and expenditure reports for the month of October? I don't have a question, but I do have a compliment. Whoever made the decision to put both of them on the same PDF, I compliment you. It's always a bit of an annoyance to have two different sheets, and now I can look at one sheet and see both things. So thank you. At this time, this is an action item. So I am seeking a motion on the monthly revenue and expenditure report as of October 31st, 2021.
Motion to approve the monthly expense report as written.
My second.
Motion by Dr. Brownstein, second by Mrs. Wiley. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is the class size and 98% Division I staffing waiver.
Yes, thank you. So this is a request for the board to exercise their right from Title 14, Section 1704 and 1705A regarding class size waivers in grades kindergarten through grade three. This requires class sizes not to exceed 22 students. We do have approximately five classrooms that have 23 students in them or just 24. So we're requesting a waiver for that based on those 22 student requirements, as well as the waiver of the 98% allocation rule. As we finalize unit count, we're still working through some staffing decisions regarding our unit count, as well as the give back plan that was outlined in Section 364 of the Fiscal 22 Appropriations Bill. The district's required to give back about $768,000 to the state, and that happened several years ago and is still carrying forward.
Are there any questions on the class size and 98% Division I staffing waiver?
I have a question on the class size. In the approach materials, you listed, it says, and I quote, the unique circumstances caused by global COVID-19 pandemic, facility constraints, budgetary constraints, and an objective of maintaining consistency in student class size as the reason for this request. That's a lot of different things all thrown into one sentence. So with regard specifically to the class size, what is the dominant reason for the request?
Generally, the reason that class sizes are a little bit higher at the beginning of the year is just because we're still earning those units through the end of September and students are already in place. So in an effort to maintain consistency and not change a child's teacher after the school year has started, we'll typically leave a class of 23 or 24 in place, not to disrupt their learning environment after the school year has begun.
Did we require this the same waiver last year?
We've done it every year since I've been here, yes. Just as we make final staffing decisions and kind of come to a close on that whole process in the fall.
Yeah, I was going to mention this is a typical waiver that we do request every year. We are usually right there on the borderline in a handful of classrooms, have a couple extra students. And to my knowledge, it's we're not aware of any impact, the negative impact of having an extra student over 22 in a classroom.
No, not that we're aware of. And I would also say that currently, as they're staffed, all of our buildings meet or exceed the 98% as well. We're just asking for a waiver if for some reason we need to make some staffing changes as we finalize the process and do that give back plan.
Is there sufficient building space that theoretically an additional class could be created? I mean, do we have the footprint to do that?
I don't think we have the need for that at this time in grades K through three, but we would explore that if necessary, but there's not at this time.
Sometimes we also have more students in one grade level than another. So typically when we have a class size that's 23 or 24 in one, we may actually be smaller than 20 or 19 or something like that, and some others too. So typically all our grade levels are not the same number every year too. And sometimes that's just a few students. And then sometimes that could be 10 to 15, 20 students difference in some grade levels as well. And that's where we have to make decisions on how many teachers are at each grade level and those type of things that impact that average class size.
Okay. Are there any additional questions from the board on class size and the 98% Division I staffing waiver? Hearing none, I am seeking a motion for class size and 98% Division I staffing waiver.
I move that we approve the class size and 98% Division I staffing waiver as presented tonight.
Motion by Mr. Vesmar, seeking a second.
I second.
Second by Mrs. Wiley. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Motion carries.
Last item I have on the agenda for you this evening is a request for tax exemption, case number 2021-8.
So tax exemption request cases are heard in our executive session, so no discussion can occur at this moment. So I am seeking a motion on the tax exemption request case 2021-8.
I move we deny the tax exemption request case 2021-8.
We have a motion by Mr. Vesmar, seeking a second.
I'll second it.
Second by Mr. Fitzgerald. Any questions on the motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next item on our agenda, under building and grounds, Mr. Mike Sharp, we have the RFP for construction management services.
Good evening to the board. Tonight I bring to you the board approval for the RFP, request for proposal for construction management services. This will be for multiple projects with state, federal, and ESSER funds. The main project will be the Milford Middle School project. The renovation and the building of the construction of the new school, and then renovation on the HVAC at Milford High School and Banneker, possibly, and a couple other things, modular classrooms that will come along with ESSER funding down the road. This will, pending your approval, this will go out on the 22nd, and it will be publicized in the paper, and it will go out through the Delaware contracting procedures.
Are there any questions from the board on the RFP for construction management services?
And you also have the scope of services, as Mr. Sharp alluded to, also there on the page too, as well.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but for the record, for the community, what exactly do construction management services? What can you give a brief synopsis? What does that mean?
They will. It's a company that will go out and they'll bid. They'll work through the processes we don't always do every day as a school leadership. They'll go and do the nuts and bolts of things. And of course, the board will be involved every step of the way. But they'll do anything from the management of the project, overseeing, make sure contractors are on time, make sure they're finishing work on time, making sure the engineering services are available or go out for bid, and just all manage the total project. I know talking with CAPE and APO, this is something that everybody does for these big contracts to make sure we stay within our scope.
So these are professional services?
Yes, sir.
For focused on capital improvement?
Yes.
Thank you.
These are big projects also, need much attention. Right on through the development and also obviously the installation of any of these projects as well.
So having experience in my own professional life on major projects, you know, sometimes small mistakes can be very costly. So folks that are professionals in this industry that we can bring on board to help us eliminate any mistakes that we might make can save the district lots of money, even though we have to put out a little money to have these people on staff. So as you might tell from my voice, I'm in full support of this. So are there any other questions from the board on the RFP for construction management services?
I think it's probably worth clarifying just for the public that under scope of services, we talk about the renovation of the Milford Middle School, a couple HVAC projects, a couple other things. I think it's important to point out that the referendum money will only go towards the Milford Middle School project. The rest of the projects are just normal expenditures that we would have.
Yes, sir.
I think that's important to clarify. And since they are kind of all put together, it's important to keep those.
Yes, sir.
Point of clarification.
Excellent point, Mr. Vesmar. Hearing no further questions, we do need a motion on the RFP for construction management services.
I move that we approve the RFP for construction management services as presented tonight.
I have a motion by Mr. Vesmar seeking a second. Second by Dr. Brownstein. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Sharp. Next item on our agenda under Equity and Support Services, Dr. Brittany Hazard, is a mental health resources.
Good evening, everyone. In September, it was requested to provide some feedback and report on our mental health supports for our district. And September was also the National Suicide Prevention Month, and that is what brought about some of this conversation. And so as you can see in the document, I'll speak to the supports that we have for our elementary and our secondary, as well as in-district external supports and some recent training. And we have school psychologists in each of our buildings, school counselors, behavior support professionals, our nurses, and our visiting teachers who are familiar with our support services that is within our buildings. We also have student and family interventionists. We have two new interventionists this year, which is a huge plus to support, to further and continue support our families and our students, as well as our behavior support paras. In regards to the external mental health support services, we have family crisis therapists. Delaware Guidance Services is an outside agency who we have an MOU with. We have contract services in regards to our BCBA. We are also have an MOU with People's Place Agency, and we are moving forward with gaining more support through Milestone Consultants, Courageous Hearts LLC, with some training and outpatient therapy and counseling services that they provide through their licensed therapists. We also have our wellness center that is with our eighth grade and into our high school, and they have a licensed clinician as well. In regards to some of our most recent training that is connected to our mental health supports, we have recently had a suicide risk training. And what that did is it provided training to our psychologists, nurses, as well as our school counselors in regards to the risk to assessment. And currently, that is the most up-to-date information in regards to our mental health services. We are always working diligently to make sure that our students have the support that they need. We recognize that mental health is a high priority. It is a number one priority in my book, and we know that our students deserve that service, not just at any level, but at the highest level.
Are there any questions for Dr. Hazard from the board?
Dr. Hazard, I just want to commend you and your staff for all that you do for our students, especially after the pandemic, because we've seen nationwide, I think, that there's been a rise of, you know, students with mental illness disorders. And so we just want to, you know, this is something that I requested because I'm truly intrigued by these reports. So I think one of the questions that I have is, do you track, or does anybody from your staff track the number of calls we get to either the family interventionist line, any lines regarding mental health supports?
We do track the needs of our students, and we also are mindful of the risk assessments that come through. Our psychologists, our counselors, our family interventionists, our teachers, our entire staff has worked very diligently to make sure that our students gain the support that they need based upon the urgency that has presented itself over this past almost 2 years. And so I do appreciate your mindfulness and your awareness to the needs of our students as well.
Thanks. And do you, in your perspective, do you think there's been a rise in our district with students seeking help?
I think nationally it's a concern. That's why mental health supports is a priority for us. At the same time, I would, you know, look at some data to compare last year's and this year's to see if there was a rise. I do know that our psychologists, as Laura was mentioning earlier, and our counselors are, you know, are on top of things in regards to providing supports and completing our risk assessments, as well as making referrals when necessary to outside agencies. So our goal has to make sure, our goal has been to make sure that we are able to complete these referrals and get our agencies in here as soon as possible. So there's not too much lag time in between and that our students and our families are getting their needs met.
And one last question is, I know HB 100 was passed by the legislature this year. According to their statistics, I think 86% of elementary schools in the state of Delaware didn't have a full-time psychologist for grades 1 through 5. But based on this, I think we have psychologists in every elementary school. So how will HB 100 affect us, and whether it's positive or negative, I'm not sure.
HB 100 is, the outlook is that it's going to affect us all in a very positive way. The goal is to make sure that we increase the mental health support services. And as time goes on, we'll be able to report out on any changes and updates in regards to that matter.
Thank you.
Are there any additional questions for Dr. Hazard? Thank you very much, Dr. Hazard.
Thank you.
Next on our agenda is our board discussion. As usual, our first item is the DSBA, or Delaware School Board Association, update. Myself and Mr. Fitzgerald attended the most recent Delaware School Board executive meeting. It was very well attended, and there was some very lively conversation. Most of it was centered on our additional most recent conversation at our last board meeting regarding the NSBA and the comments that they made. I believe at the time of our last meeting that the NSBA had retracted those statements. They'd done so very quickly. They have also gone so far as to remove the executive director of the NSBA, and they are searching for a replacement, as well as some of the staff, and some of the staff has also left, which brought the conversation to occur at the Delaware School Board Association level of what, as the DSBA and its members, what do we do? How do we react to the NSBA's kind of gaffe? And many states, including Pennsylvania and California, very large states with large amount of dues, have left. In many of us probably believe in maybe a knee-jerk reaction. The thought process at some of the executive level for Delaware is to have more of a sit and wait and see what happens, because there are some advantages to being in NSBA if they choose to change direction on how they've operated over the last few months. But one of the things they have done, or DSBA has done, is asked the districts themselves that represent the DSBA, they would like to know where we stand on that. I believe our next item is in response to the NSBA letter. So this is very timely, and the conversation that we're going to be having is very timely and will be presented back to the DSBA. The other major topic of conversation was the Department of Education's beginning of changing their regulation on masking. And my understanding on that right now is that is sitting and is not moving forward. We did see that the governor has extended the in-school masking requirement till the end of February.
Sometime February. 60 extends by 60 days.
60 days.
February, mid-February, so, I believe.
Mid-February. Mr. Fitzgerald, did I miss anything?
I don't think so.
All right, thank you. Next, is there any comments, questions, or concerns on the items that happened at the executive meeting? Has there been a legislative meeting yet? Can't remember who our
legislative meeting.
The legislative meeting.
Yes, there was 2 months ago.
Anything to report from that? No, they set their, you set their legislative agenda.
Month. I'm sorry?
I know the legislative agenda was set.
Yes, and I will report on that next month.
Fantastic. Next item of business is the response to the NSBA letter introduced by Dr. Brownstein. You have the floor.
Thank you. Presume that we read the letter. Is that the? So this was drafted in response to the National School Board Association's in the ensuing events. On September 29th, the National School Board Association wrote a letter to President Biden seeking federal assistance regarding protests that have taken place at school board meetings across the country. This letter stated, quote, as these acts of malice, violence, and threats against public school officials have increased, the classifications of these heinous actions could be the equivalent to a form of domestic terrorism and hate crimes. The Attorney General, Merrick Garland, speaking on behalf of the Department of Justice, responded to the National School Board request on October 4th, stating that, quote, while spirited debate about policy matters is protected under our Constitution, that protection does not extend to threats of violence or efforts to intimidate individuals based on their views. While spirited debate about policy matters is protected under our Constitution, that protection, he then went on to add, to this end, I am directing the Federal Bureau of Investigations, working with each United States attorney to convene meetings with federal, state, and local, tribal, and territorial leaders in each federal judicial district within 30 days of the issuance of this memorandum. Finally, on October 6th, the Delaware School Board Association issued a statement in response to the NSBA's original letter, stating that, quote, the letter indicated that it was on behalf of the members of state associations, school board members, and local districts. However, the Delaware School Board Association was not consulted prior to the release of this letter, nor do we agree with the letter. The comments and representations contained within the letter do not reflect the position of our organization. The public education system in Delaware is established on the fundamental principle of local authority. We, the members of the Milford School Board, have taken an oath to uphold the Constitution, and as such, we support the First Amendment, which includes community members' right to address their locally elected officials. We acknowledge that many school boards across the nation are presently facing controversial and divisive issues. However, despite those facts, the members of the Milford School Board will continue to encourage active and even passionate debate on these topics. We, the members of the Milford School Board, would like to thank DSBA for acknowledging that free speech is, quote, essential to successful school board governance, end quote. Thanks to their courage, as well as that of other state school boards, the NSBA was compelled to release a memorandum on October 22nd stating that, quote, on behalf of the NSBA, we regret and apologize for the letter. There was no justification for some of the language included in the letter. We should have had better practices in place to allow for consultation on a communication of this significance. Finally, we, the members of the Milford School Board, implore all parties involved to exercise restraint when making representative statements without thoroughly engaging those that are being represented. Our leaders must have the humility to speak on behalf of the people, not for the people.
Thank you, Dr. Brownstein. It is your intent, interest to have the board vote on this and for the president to sign and send to the NSBA and to Delaware School Board Association.
Is that correct? Is correct.
Are there any questions in regards to the response letter that Dr. Brownstein has written?
I have a question. I have something to read. That's okay.
You have the floor.
I'm in full agreement that our constituents should feel comfortable in addressing the board and the Milford School District appropriately provided, and the Milford School District appropriately provides this opportunity at all of our meetings. I also agree that it's problematic that both the National School Board Association and the Delaware School Board Association put out public statements, presumably representing views of all boards in their jurisdiction without input or discussions with those representative boards. However, I do in part agree with the spirit of the letter written by the National School Board Association. Across the country, our fellow school board members and their families have been harassed, intimidated, threatened, and generally disrespected. Does this equate to domestic terrorism? Maybe or maybe not. I'm not an expert, but I can assure you that board members across the country were scared for their safety and the safety of their loved ones. Right here at our meeting on October 23rd, we had a local family, including students in attendance, who were yelled at and harassed because regulations stated that if students were in the building, masks must be worn by all, and these attendees did not want to wear a mask. The same group that was claiming their rights were being violated by the mask mandate from the governor were actively trying to take away those rights of these students and their parents to remain peacefully at the meeting. One of these family members is a Marine combat veteran who suffers from PTSD. He had to leave the meeting due to the stress put on him and his family. To this day, this family, who owns a business in Milford, is active in the Boy Scouts, and are a valued part of our village, is still feeling the effects of the trauma. That's not okay. Milford's better than that. Free speech and basic rights apply to all, not just those in agreement with you. I wholeheartedly support the rights of people to address our government. Our First Amendment rights are key to keeping government accountable to all of the citizens. But this isn't a First Amendment issue, in my opinion. It's a humanity issue. It's about respectfully addressing the board, understanding that there are going to be differences of opinion, and being respectful to all sides, regardless of those differences. When we have a local family harassed at our meeting, we as a community have failed in this respect. I will be voting no on this letter. As I stated, in my opinion, we are not discussing First Amendment rights. This letter from the National School Board was not written about First Amendment rights. No one is attempting to take away the rights of anyone to address the board. The letter written by the National School Board Association is regarding the harassment and the threats against board members and community members. While language and parts of the letter may be problematic, I agree with the sentiment.
Thank you, Mr. Vesmar. Are there any additional comments or questions or concerns from the board? Hearing none, this is an action item, so I am looking for a motion on the response to the NSB letter.
Motion to approve the letter is written.
I have a motion by Dr. Brownstein, seeking a second.
I will second it. The only thing I would say is one of the sentences was written twice.
We'll fix that.
Okay. I will second it with that.
Second. So approved as you want it, approved as edited.
Yes. Thank you.
We have a second by Mr. Fitzgerald. Are there any questions on the motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No. No.
Any abstaining? We do need a roll call, please.
Mr. Baltazar Lopez.
No.
Dr. Brownstein.
Aye.
Mr. Fitzgerald.
Aye.
Mr. Vesmar.
No.
Mrs. Wiley.
Aye. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Mr. Miller.
No. We have three yeas and three noes. That does not make a motion carry. Next item on our agenda is the draft board policy 6307. Honors and dual enrollment policy.
Dr. Amory, please.
We are looking for approval. This was presented as a first read at the last board meeting, and we're just looking for approval this evening.
Can you give a brief synopsis for us, please?
Of the policy?
Correct.
Yes, the policy is looking at current practice and how we are providing opportunities for students to enter into our honors program. It's language that is taken and included in our honors guidebook that we have available that is used across MCA and MHS.
And this was information that was previously removed from a prior policy to clean that up, correct?
It was actually, yes, it was transitioned from out of one policy, and then we created the second policy. And what we did is we actually added to the policy by reviewing the information that was included in our handbook as well.
Excellent. Are there any questions from the board on the board policy 6307, honors and dual enrollment?
I don't have a question. I have an ask. If we can have some statistics on the enrollment of honors and dual classes within the past year or so. And then also the succession rate of students who have passed the honors and dual enrollment classes, if that's possible.
Sure. What kind of statistics? Just then, so, in terms of the number of students that have participated?
Both number of students and number of students who have passed those classes.
Absolutely.
So the graduation rates, I guess, in a sense.
Any additional questions, comments, or concerns on board policy 6307? Hearing none, I am seeking a motion on draft board policy 6307, honors and dual enrollment.
I move to approve the draft board policy 6307, honors and dual enrollment policy as presented.
We have a motion by Mr. Baltasar Lopez, seeking a second.
Second.
Second by Mr. Fitzgerald. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Dr. Peel.
Yes, we asked for approval of the 4309C game attendant stipend policy.
Apologize. Can you give a brief synopsis of this policy again?
This policy is for the game attendants that help during games to keep the scoreboard or take tickets. We'd need extra hands during those type of events. It was amended from a longer policy to be more straightforward and also updated with some of the amounts, as you see.
Are there any questions, comments, or concerns on the revised draft policy 4309C game attendance stipends from the board? Hearing none, I am seeking a motion on revised draft board policy 4309C game attendance stipends.
I move we accept draft board policy 4309C game attendant stipends as presented tonight.
I have a motion by Mr. Vesmar, seeking a second.
Second.
Second by Mr. Fitzgerald. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Last item on our board discussion this evening, and very timely, Dr. Hazard, that you gave your presentation on our mental health resources. So I want to quickly acknowledge Mr. Baltasar Lopez for helping me with this this statement this evening. As many of you all know, November is often known as Movember or No Shave November, meant to raise awareness for cancer, specifically prostate and testicular cancers. Both cancers can be challenging for men to discuss. However, an estimated 38,000 people will die from those cancers this year alone. Additionally, this month is about raising awareness of men's mental health and suicide prevention. According to the American Psychological Association, this is the state of men's health in the United States. 9% of men have daily feelings of depression or anxiety. Many teenage boys, though not all, have trouble talking about emotions and feelings because of the stigma. Often social pressures, which begin at a very young age, deprive boys of the self-awareness and emotional vocabulary to recognize their feelings. In turn, they are unlikely to seek help from adults or peers when they struggle. As a result, only one-third of boys ages 12 through 17 sought out help for depression in the last year, compared with 45% of girls their own age. Even worse, older male teens who are 15 and older are 3 times more likely to commit suicide than girls. Unfortunately, unchecked mental health issues is in males' young life carries to the adulthood. It's one of the reasons that 78% of people who die by suicide in the United States are male. Excuse me. The lack of awareness and understanding of the health issues, particularly with young male teens, exacerbates this crisis. And this pandemic has only made it worse. As a school board member, it's not simply my responsibility to ensure the financial and operational well-being of this school district. I also believe the responsibility to advocate for the physical and health well-being of every student and staff member. For all students, parents, faculty, and community members who may be listening, particularly males, I implore you to take the time to invest in both your physical and mental well-being. There is absolutely no shame in seeking help when you need it. Resources are available. Please know that help is available when you are ready. Thank you. I apologize, it's a subject that's very near and dear to my heart. We have reached the end of our meeting. At this time, I'm seeking a motion for adjournment.
I move to adjourn.
I have a motion by Mr. Baltazar Lopez.
Second.
Seeking a second.
Second.
Second by Mr. Vesmar. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Motion carries. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.